Good morning. In this part of Matthew's gospel, he's following Mark pretty closely. But the changes that he makes to Mark are for that reason all the more significant. This is something he's doing very deliberately. And this story in Mark starts off about the same question about the people and their answer, the same question to the disciples. But in Mark, Peter's answer is very different. In Mark, Peter says, "You are the Messiah." He only gets it half right. He doesn't get to the Son of God part. In fact, in Mark's gospel, nobody gets Son of God until after Jesus has been crucified. It's only when he hangs on the cross that the commander of the execution detail realizes, truly, this was the Son of God. But Matthew changes that. Here in Matthew, Peter says, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." He gets it. He gets it all. He gets it completely. Scarcely more than halfway through the gospel, Peter understands the fullness of who Jesus is. And therefore, Matthew adds this other material found only in Matthew, that Jesus says to Peter, "You are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church." You've probably heard that passage before. If you were raised in a Catholic church or went to a Catholic school, that's been one of the favorite passages from the whole Bible to be quoted by the Vatican, because it most directly supports the position of the Pope. "I will give you the keys of the kingdom. Whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." That's a very Jewish phrase. It goes back to, as we heard in the first reading, Isaiah. And it's been used since to talk about rabbinic authority. So Matthew, in this very Jewish Christian community, is saying that Peter and the apostles have the rabbinic authority, that they are the ones who are to be followed. And ever since, it's been cited as the justification for papal authority. Of course, the very next story in which Matthew follows Mark, Peter, who has gotten it so exquisitely and completely right, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God," gets it exquisitely and completely wrong. "God forbid, Lord, no such thing should ever happen to you." And Jesus tells him very simply what's the root of his error, his thinking not as God does, but as human beings do. If we want to think the way God does, we have to think in terms of losing our life to find it. Now, what does that all that have to say about the church, the papacy, and the Vatican? Something I think we need to think about. Because it's very easy to go too far in one direction or the other pretty quickly. It's easy to say, well, the Vatican is simply an oppressive relic of a medieval institution, and we really don't need that. We're free to think for ourselves, and we probably can come to a better conclusion about what's right and wrong and what the church in this country needs than they can. So let's just forget them, and hopefully they will wither away. Well, anyone who expects the Vatican to wither away in the Catholic Church is like the devout communists who thought they would see the withering away of the state. It just ain't going to happen. Nor should it. I would contend that the papacy is, in fact, pounded on the Petrine ministry. It's an evolved development. Jesus didn't sketch out rules for the College of Cardinals or anything like that. But it rests on Jesus' charge to Peter here. It rests on Peter's prominence throughout the New Testament. And it has a critical function in the church today. I think it will have a critical function in the church tomorrow. I think it's one of the things that we as the Catholic Church will bring to the melting pot when we're all ready to melt, which hopefully will happen sometime in this century. I don't expect to live to see it, but I think the young people in our congregation may live to see it. And if not, their children and grandchildren surely should. We've been working for the restoration of church unity for half a century to a century now. Hopefully it doesn't take much more than that again to reach consummation. And when it does, one of the things we're going to put into the pot is the Petrine ministry. Because we need it. The church needs it. The church needs it as a sign, as a sacrament of the unity of the church, without which the church rapidly dissipates its strength into 36 tiny rivulets that miss the roll of the flood that can happen in a river. And if you don't believe it, experience it. I've said Mass with the last two popes. I was concelebrant with John Paul II here at Camden Yards, with Benedict XVI at National Stadium in Washington. Many of you, I know, went to one of those Masses or the other. And those of you who did can testify with me. If you had that experience, when you celebrated the Eucharist with the Pope, it's not an intellectual thing. It's not even in your gut. It's somewhere in your bones. You can feel that you are a part of a total community of believers that is 25,000 miles around, 2,000 years deep. And that's what we need. We need, in fact, a lot more of that. We need a lot more papacy. We also need a lot less Vatican. We don't need a large central government for the church. But we do need the Bishop of Rome as the sign and the sacrament and the leader of our unity as a single community of faith. That's something we need to treasure. We need to support. We need to pray very fervently, as we do in the Eucharistic prayer every week, for Benedict our Pope, before we get to Edwin our Bishop and all the rest of us. Because the exercise of that ministry is something the Church is very much going to need in this coming century. When the tide is against us, when we're swimming upstream, when culture is devoutly consumerist, and when we point out that that's just too shallow a way to be worthy of a truly human life, people look at us like we had two heads. It's going to take a sticking together of the community, a working together in prayer, and the presence of a single leader who can preside at a worldwide Eucharist is something this church desperately needs. On the other hand, the Peter who did get it completely right also got it completely wrong. And the Pope can be wrong. And frankly, the Pope is often wrong. The charism of infallibility, even most strictly defined in Vatican documents, is a pretty narrow charism, very rarely used. And they can make mistakes. And that immense bureaucracy over which they preside is capable of making even more mistakes. But they're also capable of eventually catching on. They caught up with us this month. This month there was a decree from the Vatican that the sacred name of God should not be pronounced in the liturgy. We've been enforcing that rule for 20 years now. I'm glad they caught on. But when they're wrong, we need to do what Jesus did. Oh, yeah? Get behind me, Satan. You're a scandal to me. You're making things harder because you're looking the way God, people think and not the way God thinks. We should not be afraid to stand up to central authority and say, no, exactly, I really don't think so. We don't glorify the papacy by trying to interpret every comma and semicolon of some 18-year-old, 28-year-old Roman Monsignor's document as though it were handed down from Sinai. Peter can be wrong. Peter needs to be rebuked. But Peter is still the person of great faith. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Peter is still an indispensable necessity to maintaining the unity of the church. So we need to find one of those middle paths again. It's very easy to simplistically worship everything that comes out from the Vatican. It's very easy to simplistically and sarcastically denounce everything that comes out from the Vatican. It's easy to be slavishly for or riotously opposed to the Pope. But none of those really work for the Church. We need to make the Church go. People who are not afraid to criticize the Vatican, but still totally loyal to the idea of a Holy Father, the Pope, who sits at the head of the table and can gather the whole community around to celebrate the Eucharist. Because only in the gathering of that whole community can the Church bring its most effective witness to the world, a world that desperately needs that witness.